Father, I want to thank you so much for the message this morning. I thank you that this message comes because we're your friends. You call us your friends, your children and your friends. But you like us to know what's ahead. You like us to know what you're doing because we're one with you. And we thank you, God, that that's one of the benefits of living in the Godhead, is that we get to know what you know, we get to feel what you feel, and we get to think what you think. So I thank you, Father, this morning that you're going to speak through me the message that you want to give to your friends and your children. Amen. This morning I want to share a revelation that God gave me. It's been maybe, it was March 1st when he gave me this revelation. He showed me about how grace works in the human heart. And when we understand how it works, it helps bring us peace, and it helps us trust God more. God does all the persuading, even the area of trust. We don't have to work to trust God. That's his work in our heart. God persuades our heart to the point that we can trust him fully. We don't work faith. You cannot imagine how much peace that brings me. I worked faith for years, and it was really terrible. Because no matter how hard you work faith in your own strength, you always fall short. And there's a good reason that we fall short. It's because we were never meant to work it. Nobody'd ask me to go be a brain surgeon today, would you? You wouldn't feel too good if I said, I'm the brain surgeon today. Because I wasn't created to be the brain surgeon. We were not created to work up our own faith. The faith that we have is given to us by God, and it's a free gift. So first I want to define what grace is. Grace is God's influence upon the heart and how it operates in a person's life. It is the persuasion of God that impacts our hearts, our feelings, and our thoughts and beliefs about who God is and who we are. The root word that grace comes from is kairu, which means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. Isn't that amazing? That's what grace comes to do in our hearts. That's the place that it's getting us to. Now, this influence that God wants to have in our hearts, his grace, let's look at that. What does that mean? What does that look like? It's God's good view and opinion of you. When God looks at you, he sees himself. He sees a reflection of himself, and he's full of joy. When God's influencing us, we see his good view and opinion of everyone else. Doesn't that just take a whole truckload of problems out of our life? If you can see everybody the way God sees them, everything is peaceful and calm. It's having his faith in your heart about everything. You get to know what he knows. You get to think what he thinks. You get to feel what he feels. This morning I came into church and I was so troubled. My mind and my heart were so scattered in so many different directions. And a friend and I sat down and we met with the Godhead. And God just clicked off one concern I had after another. He took care of them all. And you know what he did? He just showed me what he thought about it. That was it. God's really not worried. He knows he's got this thing and everything's okay. His influence brings us joy and peace and comfort, even in the midst of a fiery furnace. It removes all the burdens of doing from us and takes all the pressure off of us. It's God's grace doing the work in our hearts, not us. Our only part is to believe what he's showing us. And you know what? when you can't believe it, he just tells you again. Like Greg says, he comes at it another way. He'll show us another truth until we can believe what he's showing us. Now we're going to talk about what grace does not do. Grace does not go working on the fruit in your life. Like we all thought for so many years as Christians, that what God was doing was he was busy taking care of our behavior. That's not what God's grace looks at. God is looking at our hearts, which are the roots there. That's what God is concerned about, the beliefs in our heart. He wants to remove the lies and the darkness that we have in our hearts by giving us his truth in his life. Now we're going to take a quick look at what carnal thinking is. This is the way man thinks about everything. Carnal thinking puts the focus on us. That's why I was so miserable this morning. The focus was on me and what I needed to do. I got my eyes off of Almighty God, who says he'll do it all for me, and I got it on me. This, as soon as we start feeling pressure and a burden, that lets us know that we don't have God's thoughts about that situation. We're thinking we have to do it. Carnal thinking makes you become consumed with yourself and your flaws. What a bummer of a way to live. Isn't that awful? Always thinking about yourself and what's wrong with you. And the amazing thing is that's such a big lie, because God says there's nothing wrong with us. We just don't know the truth yet. Carnal thinking also gets us to look at how other people judge us. What are they thinking about us? It causes us to believe the lie that God isn't pleased with us when we do something wrong, and that to make God happy, you have to do everything right. It makes us think that we have to try to be like God because we don't believe what he said. He said we already are like him. And then our identity becomes based on what we do and what we have and what's happened to us. And that is the place where most of us have lived our lives. That is where we're getting our identity. What we've done or haven't done. What we have or what we don't have. And what's happened to us or hasn't happened to us. It's the same belief system that Satan offered to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's all about us and what we do. Carnal thinking can never remove carnal thinking. Think about that. That is what we have used to remove carnal thinking. Now, that's one that you really got to think about. That came straight from God, and I had to think about that for a while. Carnal thinking can never remove carnal thinking. Grace is God's influence on our hearts so we can believe what he believes. It removes carnal thinking from us, and it brings us God's life and his freedom. It fills our hearts with his truth and how he sees everything. So carnal thinking is all about us and what we have to do. Grace is all about Jesus and what God accomplished through his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. In John 15:15, it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." Wasn't that nice that the worship team sang, "I am a friend of God" this morning? I was so thankful to God. "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." That's what happens when you're a friend of God. He wants to let us know what's going on. He doesn't want us to walk through our lives blindly, not knowing what's up next. He wants to prepare us. What a good, good Father he is to us. And I know this morning I saw on Facebook a really precious lady that talked about her daddy, because it's his birthday today. And what she saw when she looked at him, it's a picture of our good, good Father that we have. That is always, his heart is always for us. It doesn't matter how old she was. She's an adult, yet her daddy blesses her every day. It's the same way with us. It doesn't matter how old we get. God is right there. He wants to bless you. He wants to do everything for you. He wants to serve you. He wants to give you all the truth that you need for each day, and then some for what's coming ahead. In John 16:1, it says, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Jesus said this to his disciples right before he was going to be arrested and crucified. He knew they were going to have trouble seeing these situations the way he saw them. Just think about it. His disciples thought that that was the worst thing that could have happened. Were they believing lies? Yeah. Jesus' crucifixion and his death and burial and resurrection were the greatest things that God was going to ever do for his children, for all of humanity. Yet to the disciples, it looked like really terrible things were happening. It looked like everything was wrong. That word offend means to entrap or trip up, to stumble, a snare, a thing that offends. So Jesus knew that when his disciples saw him become arrested and go through the crucifixion, it was going to shake them up. It was going to upset them. They thought it was all over. Some of them might question if Jesus was really the Son of God. So he prepared them. He told them ahead of time, this is what's coming, so you won't get tripped up, so you won't stumble. He told them, I'm going to send a comforter to you. It is better for me to leave. He told them in many ways. But most of them had a hard time receiving that. God's the same way with us. He doesn't want us to be confused or offended when we can't see things the way he sees them. So he prepares us. And he lets us know this is what's coming. It might look messy to you, but I'm telling you, it's a good thing. So this is the revelation about grace that God showed me on March 1st. He showed me a picture of an arcade game. And in this arcade game, there were a lot of heads that were popping up and down real, real fast, one right after the other. And the object of the game was you had this rubber mallet, and you were supposed to hit these heads as soon as they come up. Pow, pow. Get them all down. And that's what he showed me. Each head, God showed me, represented a thought or a word that had been planted in our heart that was contrary to what God said, either about him or about us. So each head represents a lie. God showed me that there are a lot of issues popping up in our hearts, in our life, at the same time. He's saying that this is going to begin to increase as grace abounds. As pure grace is being preached, the work of grace is going to come up, and it's going to dig up those lies and bring them to the surface, and it's going to confront them. Before one issue gets dealt with and healed, another one will pop up. They'll keep popping up one right after the other until it could look like to us that we're not getting anywhere. We could be tempted to think, God isn't doing anything. Where is God? I thought this was grace and it took care of everything. God showed me that what grace is doing is it's pulling up lies that are all intertwined with one another. So one lie comes up, and we think it's going to be taken care of. And then before that one gets taken care of, another lie comes up. And then another lie. And then another lie. And we're saying, God, what is going on? Where are you? And I'm going to be honest. God is helping me become more and more and more transparent. I say, do you care, God? Now, not everybody might get to that point, but I have. I can very easily look at the outside circumstances and say, God, don't you care? God's so good. When I go to him and I really want to talk to him, when I say, don't you care? He's right there. He's going to tell me how much he cares. But you know, sometimes I'm just frustrated and aggravated, and I just say, God, don't you care? And then I just go on. And there he is trying to tell me how much he cares, and I can't even hear it. But he's always there telling us, always there telling us. God wants us to know that he is always there. He takes care of everything. He's working on these lies that are in our hearts to set us free day and night. There is nothing for us to do and nothing for us to fix. God said that we can rest and be patient. Isn't that so cool? What did Greg preach on last week? Patience. See, here is God coming the very next week. He's wanting to persuade our hearts again. I want to show you, you can be patient. Not because you're a patient person, but because God is persuading your heart that you can trust him. That's where patience comes from. And I just want to go after that one right there. Patience does not come by God sending you problems. We're going to pop that one real quick. Patience comes by God persuading our hearts that he is a good God, that he loves us, and that he is working in our hearts. The good work that God has begun in you, he is faithful to complete it. Do any of you have an area in your life that you've been waiting a long time for God to take care of? Have you ever experienced that before? Yeah. Or an area of bondage or fear that you just need him to heal? When it appears that God isn't doing anything from our perspective, which is always wrong, we can get frustrated and downright angry sometimes and feel hopeless. God wants to persuade our hearts so we can trust him. He wants us to be able to trust him right in the middle of all these lies and yelling at us. He wants us to know that he's working on several of these lies at the same time because they're all connected. We usually do not see that. We see the one thing that's popped up and it's causing us problems. We don't see all the roots down underneath that it's connected to. But that's why they all start coming up to the surface and popping up one after another, because they're all connected. He compared it for me similar to a song. When a song first starts, it often starts with just one instrument. Let's say the drums. Then the strings come in. Then the horns come in. And then before you know it, there's a full song. And then that song builds in intensity. And God's saying, that is a picture of grace. Grace has come in. He's taken care of that lie. We know God's always happy with us. He's taken care of that lie. We're already like God. We don't have to try hard to be like God. So there are many lies that have already been moved out of the way. But now he's going for the cluster of lies, or that's what's getting ready to start happening. God showed me a picture of an old-fashioned stove that uses burning wood. And he opened up the door of it, and he had me look in. And I saw that all of a sudden the flames increased, and it got a whole lot hotter. And God said, grace is intensifying. Grace is getting stronger and deeper because we are hearing pure grace, and that it's going to take an axe to the root of our carnal thinking. God is encouraging us. He wants us to know that this is starting to happen and that the intensity of his grace is getting stronger. We don't need to feel afraid or discouraged. Knowing what's happening, we can be filled with joy and peace through it. Then God showed me that carnal thinking and grace have been walking together, side by side for a long time. And it seemed like there wasn't a problem like with that. And it's because grace has been neutered by much of the church. Grace has not been preached in purity. Carnal thinking and grace have been mixed so much that many Christians can't even tell the difference between the two. And as you can see, this little man, I have a picture of a little man up on the screen. He's got one foot in carnal thinking and one foot in grace. And he's happy. He doesn't see that there's a problem with that. And I'm going to give you a real good example of that in a minute. It's like grace and carnal thinking have been walking hand in hand, thinking that they were in agreement when they're actually totally opposite of each other. But because grace has been watered down and neutered for so long, we didn't really know what grace was. For instance, how many times have you heard somebody say, "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace"? How many of us have said that? How many of us spent a lot of years believing that? That's like saying something is hard and soft at the same time. They're opposites. Yet most of us never saw anything wrong with that. Either you're a sinner or you're saved. You can't be a sinner. You can't be a sinner and walk in grace. The two do not mix. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 4 through 9, it says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, but who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So when a little bit of carnal thinking or law get mixed with grace, it makes grace of no effect in our life. Isn't that amazing? When we mix law and grace, a little bit of law will make grace of no effect. That word leaven and leaveneth means to ferment or undergo a chemical change. It changes the properties. So a little carnal thinking changes grace. It neuters grace and it makes it ineffective. One of the things that Greg has taught, and it's really helped me a lot, is to think through completely what we believe. So many times we'd hear something that was law, and we'd say, "I believe that." And then we'd hear the totally opposite thing that was grace, and we'd say, "I believe that." And we never thought there was anything wrong with that, because we never put the two things side by side and looked at them and said, "Wait a minute. If 1 plus 1 equals 2, 1 plus 1 can't equal 3. But because we didn't look at it like that, we didn't see it. You can't say that Jesus did it all and then say that you have to do something. One or the other is true. So if you believe that Jesus really did it all, you can rest. And all you have to do is believe that he did it all. It's that simple. Did Jesus take away the sin of the world on the cross? Are we sure he did that? Then why have we spent so many years and days of our Christian life confessing our sins to him when he already took them away? They were dealt with at the cross. You can't say that you're saved by grace, but then you have to tithe to get God to bless you. The two are opposites, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring these opposing beliefs that are in our heart, and he wants to take care of them. He wants to get rid of them. In Mark 7:13, Jesus said it like this: we make the word of God of none effect through our traditions. Traditions are the things that man believes and what looks right to man. And what is the word of God that they're talking about in the scripture? It's the gospel of grace. It's the faith of the Son of God. It says that God has already done everything for you through Jesus. You can rest and let his grace be sufficient for everything. This doesn't mean that you sit on the sofa and you sleep all day. Paul said he did more than anybody else, but it wasn't him doing it, he said. It was the grace of God. It was God's life flowing through him. The effort was not on his part. When we mix men's ideas and traditions with God's word, it makes God's word of none effect. That's a pretty powerful thing. And we haven't realized that that's what's been going on. But look at what happens when you listen to pure grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word, the gospel of grace, will come in and it will go into your heart and pierce it. And it's going to divide carnal thinking and put spiritual thinking in your hearts. It's going to come and remove the lies that you've been believing and you think is the truth. And it's going to bring them into the light and then bring you truth. Grace and carnal thinking have been walking along side by side for a long time. This mixture has caused grace to be of no effect. But now that pure grace is being preached and revealed for what it truly is, it's going to clash with carnal thinking big time. Carnal thinking is going to be exposed more and more as pure grace is preached. This exposing and clashing is going to increase and intensify. Just as the flame that God showed me in the wood-burning stove was getting hotter and bigger. The clashing is good. That's what God wants us to know. The clashing of these two things is good. It is grace seeking after the carnal thinking, which is sin, to destroy it. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did you hear that? You know, I never knew what that scripture meant. And when God gave it to me to preach, I said, God, I don't even know what that means. And he says, think about it. Everywhere there is sin, my grace is coming after it. My grace is going to abound and bring down those lies. What an amazing thing. Is it us that has to do it? No, God's going to do it for us. His grace. Now, we're going to talk about what sin is. Because it says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And because I didn't know what sin was, that's why I never really understood that scripture. Sin is not doing something wrong. Sin is not going out and getting drunk. Sin is not whatever things you've been taught all the time that don't please God. Sin is just simply not believing what God believes. Whew. Wow. Isn't that simple? There should have been a wave of peace that just went out to everybody that heard that. You don't have to struggle with behaviors that you think aren't acceptable. That's not even what God is thinking about. He wants to go after what sin really is. And in that scripture, sin is not even a verb. It's a noun. It's a belief system that's different from God's. It's not what we do or don't do. Sin says that you're not like God. and that you have to do something to become like him. As God's grace abounds more and more, I got to get my two-edged sword here. As God's grace abounds more and more, one talking head after another is going to start being destroyed and silenced so that we aren't going to hear those lies yelling at us anymore. And as our carnal thinking is removed, our relationship with God is going to get better and better and stronger and deeper. And our relationships with each other are going to get deeper because we're going to start seeing people the way God sees them. We're going to start valuing people the way God values them. What an amazing way to live. So what's the problem, right? Everything I've said has been wonderful. Why would God want us to know this all ahead of time so we don't get offended? Well, Luke 12, verse 51 tells us, Jesus said he came to bring division. Jesus said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. What did Jesus come to divide? Grace from the carnal mind. He came to separate Satan's belief system and his belief system because we've had them both put into our hearts and we don't know the difference many times. This clash or war that exists between grace and the carnal mind is on the outside of us, and it's also in our hearts. We're going to first talk about the clash from the outside. In Galatians 4:29, it says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And this is talking about Ishmael and Isaac, one born from the bondwoman under the law, the other born of the free woman in grace. The reason that there's division is because the two clash. They are opposites. As more people speak and live in pure grace, there's going to be an increase of opposition to it. Those that choose to live by their own works to please God will be thinking differently from those that are resting. It's going to cause an opposition. Jesus experienced that a lot, didn't he? He came and he said, I'm the Son of God. He said, I'm just like God. I come from my Father. Wow, that really upset people. Have you ever told anybody you're just like God and that you're God's son? And that you don't have to do anything to try to be like God because you already are like him? I tell you what, if you're doing much of that, you're facing some opposition. People don't understand that because they've been taught something different. It's not the people that we come against. It's just the belief system. Those people are another reflection of God. Their value is just like God. They are already like God. They just don't know it yet. How sad to be the image of God and you don't know it. That's where most of us have lived most of our lives. And you know, it's not a really nice feeling. I know I've talked about before how many times I would wake up every morning and I just felt guilty. And I didn't even know why. But surely I couldn't have done everything right that God wanted me to do. Surely somehow in this chaotic fuzz in my brain, I missed it. And so I never could totally have the peace that God wanted me to have because I was thinking carnally. I was thinking about me and what I needed to do to please God. God came and he took care of that lie for me. And I can wake up now so nice. In fact, my husband's been laughing because often I wake up in the morning laughing now. What an amazing thing. I wake up knowing God is pleased with me. So Jesus experienced that outward opposition. We're going to also. We also see Jesus experiencing the opposition inwardly when he was in the garden before he was arrested. There was a war going on inside of Jesus. His flesh wanted to do something to rescue himself. And grace was in him saying, no, trust in God. Do nothing to come off the cross. Let your Father rescue you. So God's divine influence was there in Jesus' heart, and it persuaded Jesus to rest and let his Father rescue him. And you know, we can think he was God too, so it couldn't have been that bad. Well, then why did he sweat blood? That had to be an intense battle that was going on inside of him, that he sweat blood. But in spite of that intense battle, grace won. And he was able to rest even on the cross and trust his Father to rescue him. The Bible says that Jesus faced the same temptations that we do, the same flesh, the same lies that come to us. He faced them also. We're going to continue to see more and more carnal thinking exposed for what it is and the effect that it has on us. At the same time, we're going to see grace more and more for what it is, and it's going to be exposed. I thought it was really neat this morning. One of the songs we sang was, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And I thought, we're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And as we go deeper, this intensity is going to rise up. And grace is going to come after the lies that we believe like we've never experienced before. Grace is coming to destroy the foundation of carnal thinking. And a lot of lying heads are going to be rolling. One right after the other. This morning, when my friend and I were praying, how many lies would you say God took care of? 15 is a minimum. One after another, just popping up. And God said, you're experiencing what you're going to preach on today. And I thought, ooh, why am I feeling so miserable? He said, because you haven't learned to trust me yet, that it's okay that you're feeling like this. But I'm going to persuade your heart that you can trust me. And when these lies come up, I'm going to take care of them. But to the extent that we want to hold on to the carnal thinking, we're going to experience the difficulty and the pain, because we'll still be trying to fix ourselves or our husbands or our children or our bosses or our girlfriends or our boyfriends. Now, we've all experienced the defeat of that, haven't we? I used to not be able to understand why you couldn't just tell somebody, that upsets me, please don't do it anymore. And within a half hour, they did it again. Now, I would have thought that my telling them that would have taken care of it, the great fixer that I am. But God has shown me that's not fixing anything, that's whitewashing the outside of the cup. That's just wanting to take care of their behavior. And that is carnal thinking. See, as it gets exposed more and more, we'll go, ooh, that's not what I want. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I want God doing with me. God wants to let the truth change the inside of us, our heart. And then the behavior is not an issue anymore. It's just not an issue. The intensity that we're going to experience as grace comes and begins destroying these lies, it's going to help us be able to see our circumstances through God's eyes and His heart. Grace is going to enable us to become as little children. We're going to have the freedom to be ourselves. When you look at a little child, they're so free. They don't care what you think of them. It's not even in their mind. They're just free. They're just doing what they love to do. They're being themselves, and they don't think anything of it. They're free from self-consciousness. That's where God wants to take us. Freedom from self-analysis. And then the other one that follows right behind it is freedom from analyzing everybody that's around us. Freedom from the burden of fixing things and fixing people. God wants to give us freedom so we can live His life the way He lives, with His thoughts and with His feelings. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Wow. There we see pure grace. When pure grace is preached and pure grace has its way, God's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes what he wants. And there it is, all those broken balloons. That's what he wants to accomplish, to set us free from the lies so we can live the life that he has for us. God's word wants to go out and bring division. He wants everybody in the world to be able to see grace for what it is and carnal thinking for what it is. So people have a free choice. Which way do they want to live? God wants us to have a choice. He said, "Choose this day, life or death." But I'm telling you, you should choose life. I'm telling you, you should choose grace. Let me do it for you. I'm all powerful. I want to do everything. When it looks to you like I'm not doing anything, I'm working on it day and night. While you sleep, I'm still awake. I'm working in your heart. I'm working in your circumstances. Then what begins to happen, and we've just started seeing this recently, grace begins to flow out of our mouths before we even have a chance to think about it. We don't have a chance to think about what we're going to say, because that the intensity that is in us just comes out. And this happened in such a beautiful way a few weeks ago in the Sunday morning Bible study. And Jay was leading, and we had a visitor, somebody that had never probably ever heard grace before. And listen, we need to love those people. We don't ever come against people. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. It's just the belief system that you expose. So this person, and I'm not going to say exactly what they said, but they said something that was 100% carnal. And Jay, his hand slammed down on the table, and he said, "I disagree with that 100%. And I was sitting kind of cat a corner to him, and if you could have seen the surprise in his eyes, it, do you know why? Because it wasn't Jay. It was God. Jay and God are one, and God's heart came out of Jay. God's feeling, God's desire to set that man free from bondage just came flooding out of Jay effortlessly. This is the kind of thing that we can begin to expect. It isn't anything we do. In fact, if you try to do it yourself, you're going to really mess it up. Trust me. I've been there too. I have learned you open your mouth when God comes flooding out, and you close your mouth when he isn't. It's okay. There are times that we're not supposed to say anything, and we're not the ones that know it all to decide when that's going to happen. That's a work of God. So when we're letting him do all the work in us, there won't be any mistakes. People will hear what they need to hear when they hear it. When they're not ready for it, they won't hear it. God knows. There's a scripture. Well, I want to share this verse. God showed me a picture of Jesus holding the earth in his hands. And each time he gives us a fresh revelation of grace, he takes us deeper in grace. This is what he showed me. The earth gets tilted a little bit. Carnal thinking gets tilted a little bit. Carnal thinking that's throughout the world. And then he tilts it a little more. Whoops. We lost some carnal thinking. And then he tilts it a little bit more. And then we lose more carnal thinking. And then it tilts, and it tilts, and it tilts until everything looks like it's upside down. But what God showed me is when Satan's belief system came into the world carnally became turned upside down. Man took on Satan's belief system. And so upside down is really right side up. But it might feel a little bit uncomfortable when our world is getting tilted and tilted and tilted. Because all of a sudden, the things that we have believed all of our lives aren't going to give us the peace that they used to bring us. They're not going to work. They're not going to be effective. And that'll be the time where we just trust God and say, God, I want you to live through me. I want to think what you think. I want to feel what you feel. And he'll come and he'll just do that tilting until that's what happens and that lie is totally removed. Jesus came to show us who we are. He came to show us that we're the sons and daughters of God, that we are like God, and that we can know the things that God knows. We can feel what God feels, and we can think what he thinks. That's what you call having the mind of Christ. We all really already have it. It's just that carnal thinking has come in and mixed it up. But the mind of Christ is in each one of us. And grace is there to pull down those lies so that the mind of Christ is what we begin to live out of. As pure grace is preached, it won't be able to walk side by side with the carnal mind. This clashing is going to increase. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says it like this. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is against God. I was raised all my life in the church thinking that the carnal mind was what God's will was for me. I was supposed to clean up my own act in my own strength. I wasn't like God. I had to do to become. It says in that scripture that that's against God. The two cannot walk hand in hand. So even though we have heard carnal thinking and grace preached together as if they were one, that isn't possible. Let me say that again. Although we have heard the church preach carnal thinking and grace as if they were the same thing, that is not possible. This grace is going to produce patience in us. carnal thinking produces the opposite. Carnal thinking says you better get it right, and you better get it right today. Aren't you tired of living with these same things? Aren't you tired of being like this? Don't you want to be different? Well, you just got to try a little bit harder. Just try a little bit harder than yesterday and a little bit harder than the day before. And tomorrow you're going to try harder. Does that bring peace? Does it bring patience? Is it a picture of patience and rest? No, it's the opposite. And even if we accomplish it, believe me, for many years I did. Even if you accomplish that level, you are only washing the outside of the cup. The lies have still been in me all the time. I had the self-will to clean up the outside of my cup, and I looked really good. But when Greg came here, he looked me in the face and he said, "Mom, what kind of relationship do you have with God?" I said, "I have a great one because I do everything to please him." And Greg said, "Mom, you have a big problem." And he said, "That isn't a relationship with God, because trying to please somebody isn't the relationship that God wants with you. God wants you to know you are already pleasing. You don't have to do anything." And as I began to drop that washing the outside of the cup, I experienced a lot of pain because I had to wait patiently while grace takes care of the lies. Because, see, God wasn't caring about my behavior. He didn't want to just wash the outside of my cup. He wanted to free me on the inside in my heart so I wasn't striving and I wasn't hurting anymore. It's an amazing thing to let God do it. He's not going after what we thought he was going after. God will persuade us so we can rest and be patient and rely on him for life so that we can rest while he does the work. This is what we're going to see starting to happen. This is what happened in Jay that morning in the Bible study. And I'm sure we've all experienced it in our own ways. Grace now is being exposed for what it is. It isn't going parallel with carnal thinking. The two don't match up. Grace is taking us off into a totally different direction. And if I could have put it on the slide, it actually takes you in the opposite direction. But I wanted you to see the man is getting stretched. He can no longer walk in both places comfortably. That's what begins to happen. As we try to hold on to the carnal, but we're hearing pure grace is going to be working against that carnal thinking. And it's going to say, let go. Let God do it for you. Quit trying to do it yourself. I had so many things happen this morning that made me think I needed to do everything myself. So many things fell apart at the last minute. And because Greg isn't here, I was feeling the pressure. I had to do it. I had to fix it. I had to make it right. And I was a basket case because I can't. And now I know I can't. And so all I can do is get frustrated and flustered because I'm not used to living out of my willpower anymore. And so I felt the pain. But as I let God take it and I gave him each lie in each situation, he had it all covered. There was nothing for me to do but trust and rest in him and know that he was going to take care of it. When you only hear pure grace preached, what begins to happen is when you hear the opposite preached, it starts sounding like fingernails scratching on a chalkboard. That is what it will do to you. You don't have to try to get that to happen. That is just what begins to happen. It'll produce a feeling of chaos and confusion For there's a mixture, and it's no longer the road to grace, but the road to death. And your heart will know that. So I'm going to use a couple of quick little instances to make this more real. The first thing I'm going to talk about is justification. We've lived most of our lives feeling like we had to justify ourselves, right? You get in an argument with your husband or your wife, and you have to justify them. Just justify yourself. Show them that you're the one that's right, and they're the one that's wrong. When anybody, you disagree with somebody, you have to justify yourself and show them that you didn't make a mistake. How did we do that? We did it in our own strength. We defended our actions. We pointed the blame at them, because if we could get them to look unrighteous, then we could look righteous. We compared ourselves with others that we judged to be less than ourselves. Ooh, is that God? No, that's coming from the enemy. How could we have thought that that was an okay thing to do? And then the old faithful one is we make excuses. It felt normal and right. We were justifying ourselves in our own strength. And then somebody came and preached to us the faith of the Son of God. And we found out that we were already justified. By ourselves? No. God justified us. We are already justified. So now that we've heard that for a little while, what happens when your mate disagrees with you now? There's when it starts getting uncomfortable. Because, see, grace knows the truth, and grace tells you you don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. I'll do it for you. But the carnal thinking that's still there says, no, I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm going to defend myself. I'm right. They're wrong. As grace intensifies, that's going to die away. We are going to have good marital relationships, because neither person will need to justify themselves. That's the plan that God had all along. Here's an example in my own life. Somewhere early in my life, I believed that I was responsible for making everyone around me happy. Now, there were a lot of circumstances that fed that, but let me tell you, well, I'm going to stop right here for a second because I'm going to pop the big one. This is what God said, and God said he wants to set a lot of people free. Some people are going to receive it right now, and you are going to be set free hearing this for the first time. Maybe it's going to be a seed that's going to go in, and it's going to work, and it's going to work, and it's going to work, and it's going to take away all that carnal thinking. But I'm going to tell you what God said. Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing that has happened to you in the past has any power to hurt you or keep you in bondage. Nothing that has happened to you in your past has any power to hurt you or keep you in bondage. It's a lie to think that the past could hold you in bondage. God is bigger. It isn't the things that happened that caused the problem. It's lies. It's things that aren't true. That's what causes the problems. So here, I believed the lie that I was responsible to make everyone happy. The next obvious lie was that how could one person make everybody happy all the time? I wasn't responsible for that, but not only that, that's an impossibility. No person can do that. But lies are deceptive. And usually the person that believes them can't see that they're lies until God shows them that it's a lie. Barb could see I was believing a lie because it wasn't her lie, but I couldn't see it. And her telling me it wasn't a lie didn't help. It's God persuading my heart that does that. So here comes grace, and it walks into that group of lies, and it says that I can rest, that it's not my responsibility to make people happy. Now, you would think that that would make me happy, right? Wrong. There was another lie in my heart. Thank you. And it said that I was not a good person unless I made everybody around me happy. Another lie. Here comes grace again to tell me I am a good person. I am already like God. It isn't about what I do or don't do. So now you see grace fighting a cluster of lies. Then another lie comes up. If I don't make somebody happy, they won't feel loved. There was the root lie. If I didn't make them happy, they wouldn't feel loved. And I felt like I needed to help everybody feel loved. So I'm going to tell you a quick, funny little story. But most of the stories aren't funny. These lies have done a lot of damage to me and the people in my life. But when my children were little, every now and then we had a box of cereal for dessert. And, you know, back then and probably now, I don't know, there was a toy in the cereal. And so all of my kids would come to me separately and say, "Can I have the toy? Can I have the toy?" Well, I tell you, I want to make all five of my children happy. I feel responsible to make them happy. I want them to feel like they're loved. And if I make any of them unhappy, they won't feel loved. Uh-oh. Guess what I did? I went and got five boxes of cereal. That is how deep the lie was in my heart. Was I aware of all of this? No. I have become aware of all of this maybe 6 months ago. But I tell you, you don't have to be aware of the lies. They're driving your life. And you just live out of them without knowing it. That's why God wants to set us free so much. He doesn't want us living from these bondages and these lies that wreak havoc in our lives. So God began to show me that all these lies were intertwined together. And that's why it was hard for me to get free. Because he couldn't just take care of one. He had to take care of five of them all together. And so as they all came popping up, just like those heads, God is dealing with them with grace. He is there to tear down the lies. It's like the difference of not really cleaning a room or doing deep cleaning. You know, you can get real frustrated. You start out with deep cleaning and you're all pumped up and you're excited because you know you're going to get at everything. And when you're halfway through, you go, "Why did I ever start this? This is a mess." That's what God wants to protect your hearts from believing. He wants to go deep. Grace has been preached in purity for a while, and we've been hearing it for a while. It wants to go deep, and it might look messy for a while. Maybe five lies or six or seven lies are going to come up in a clump. God doesn't want you to feel overwhelmed. He wants you to know His grace is what is dealing with those lies. He's doing the work. He is well able, and He is faithful. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be discouraged. And most of all, we don't need to get impatient. God knows what He's doing. He's an expert. He isn't going to fail us. His goal is to set us free from these bondages. And we can trust Him. And when we can't, we don't have to let that frighten us. All we do is go to Him and say, "God, if this doesn't look good, I can't trust You. Talk to me. Persuade my heart. Tell me again I can trust You." He will do it over and over again. It doesn't matter if you need to hear it 100 times in a day, 200 times in a day. He doesn't get tired of persuading our hearts. Not ever. God did his greatest work on the earth right before it looked like to man the worst thing that could have happened did, and that's that Jesus was crucified. It was the most confusing, confounding time for the Church of Jesus Christ. They did not understand what was happening. What was happening is Jesus was setting the world free. It was an amazing good thing, but it didn't look like what man would think it would look like. Man would have wanted Jesus to come down off the cross and say, "See, I am the Son of God." And then all mankind would have been lost for eternity. The same thing here. God is telling us about this deep cleaning before it happens, because it's the greatest move of grace that we have experienced yet. But we might not view it that way. We might be tempted to look at it carnally and think that God isn't working, or that grace isn't working. We see that in the New Testament. You know, there was this great big argument about grace. It's because people didn't really understand what grace was. I think we're getting a really good understanding here of what grace is. But God wants us to know what grace is getting ready to do. And we're getting ready to sink into that ocean deeper. And God is going to do a deeper work. And he is faithful. And the work that he's begun, he is faithful to finish it. He is going to finish it. And this is what he told me, that we can relax through this and let God set us free. We don't have to do anything. In fact, we can have fun. I've had fun preaching this morning. If you'd have seen me 2 hours ago, you wouldn't have thought I could have had any fun, believe me. But this has been fun, because it isn't me. It's God speaking a message that he wants you all to know, because it's his heart. He wants you to know what he knows. He wants you to feel what he feels, and he wants you to think what he thinks. So he says that, as we're willing to let grace do this work in us and give up the ghost, let it go, and wait patiently for God to do the work in us, what he is doing is he's going to bring forth the manifestation of us as his sons and daughters. It's going to be within, and it's going to be without. The relationship that we have with God is going to get so good, it'll be beyond our imagination. As that happens, God is going to flood out of our being. And the world is going to see that. And they're going to be drawn to us. I know Cindy's been experiencing that somewhat. People are just coming up to her. They don't know. They don't understand. And I know it's happening to a lot of other people. I just don't know it about it. But people are drawn to God. They're drawn to the freedom. They're drawn to the love. And to the extent that we can just let grace do its work, we're going to get free. And it's going to draw many, many people to Jesus. So, Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in us. I thank you that you love us so much that you wanted to protect us from the temptation of being offended. And let us know that you're getting ready to move powerfully. Grace is getting ready to move powerfully. Your divine influence upon our heart is going to go deeper. And it's going to take the axe to the root of the lies in our lives. And we thank you, God, that your plan is that we can just rest and even have fun while it's going on, and wait patiently while you do it. Thank you, Father, for saturating us with your patience, with your love, and with your mind. Amen.